To open something, you found the appropriate spot and applied the minimum amount of force necessary to achieve your end. Possibly the spot was between a couple of ribs and the force was applied via a dagger, or between two warring countries and applied via an army, but the important thing was to find that one weak spot, which would be the key to everything. And so you are now the unpaid professor of cruel and unusual geography, he said to the figure who had been brought before him. The wizard known as Rincewind nodded slowly, just in case an admission was going to get him into trouble.
Yes.
Have you been to the hub?
Yes.
Can you describe the terrain? What did the scenery look like? Lord Vetinari added helpfully.
Blurred, sir. I was being chased by some people.
Indeed. And why was this? Rincewind looked shocked.
Oh, I never stop to find out why people are chasing me, sir. I never look behind either. That'd be rather silly, sir.
Lord Vetinari pinched the bridge of his nose.
Just tell me what you know about Cohen, please, he said wearily.
Him? Oh, just a hero who never died, sir. A leathery old man, not very bright, really. But he's got so much cunning and guile you'd never know it.
Are you a friend of his?
Well, we've met a couple of times and he didn't kill me, said Rincewind. That probably counts as a yes.
And what about the old men who are with him?
Oh, they're not old men. Well, yes, they are old men, but, well, they're his silver hoard, sir.
Those are the silver hoard? All of it?
Yes, sir, said Rincewind.
But I thought the silver hoard conquered the entire Agatian Empire.
Yes, sir, that was them.
Rincewind shook his head.
I know it's hard to believe, sir, but you haven't seen them fight. They're experienced, and the thing is, the big thing about Cohen is, he's contagious.
You mean he's a plague carrier?
It's like a mental illness, sir,
or magic.
He's as crazy as a stoat, but once they've been around him for a while, people start seeing the world the way he does, all big and simple, and they want to be part of it.
Lord Vetinari looked at his fingernails.
But I understood that those men had settled down and were immensely rich and powerful, he said.
That's what heroes want, isn't it? To crush the thrones of the world beneath their sandaled feet, as the poet puts it.
Yes, sir. So, what's this? One last throw of the dice? Why?
I can't understand it, sir. I mean, they had it all.
Clearly, said the patrician. But everything wasn't enough, was it?
There was an argument in the anteroom beyond the patrician's oblong office. Every few minutes, a clerk slipped in through a side door and laid another pile of papers on the desk. Lord Vetinari stared at them. Possibly, he felt, the thing to do would be to wait until the pile of international advice and demands grew as tall as Corrie Celesti and simply climb to the top of it. Zip, zing, and can do, he thought.
So, as a man full of get-up-and-go must do, Lord Vetinari got up and went.
He unlocked a secret door in the panelling and a moment later was gliding silently through the hidden corridors of his palace. The dungeons of the palace held a number of felons imprisoned at his lordship's pleasure, and since Lord Vetinari was seldom very pleased, they were generally in for the long haul. His destination now, though, was the strangest prisoner of all, who lived in the attic. Leonard of Querm had never committed a crime. He regarded his fellow men with benign interest. He was an artist, and he was also the cleverest man alive, if you used the word clever in a specialised and technical sense. But Lord Vetinari felt that the world was not yet ready for a man who designed unthinkable weapons of war as a happy hobby. The man was, in his heart and soul, and in everything he did, an artist. Currently, Leonard was painting a picture of a lady from a series of sketches he had pinned up by his easel.
"Ah, my lord," he said, glancing up. "And what is the problem?"